The Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. And let me see what spring.
Steve Cochran Show, 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Dave Ennett's here. Steve Rezanich. Mary Vandeville. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. If you have any other ideas for Dave and his grand marshal debut in the Skokie Parade tomorrow, text him in.
Did you sense that Dean was not real forthcoming? Yeah. Like he wanted to keep some grand marshal secrets to himself?
Feels like since he's a veteran that he was kind of hazing you as a rookie.
I think so. Yeah, I felt that.
He wasn't very supportive.
Unlike Pat, who called in earlier and had some good
advice. Pat wanted to share.
Yeah, right. I'm a little hurt.
Right. Dean's competitive. He's competitive.
He is.
Grand marshaling is not a soft sport.
Evidently not. I had no idea.
All right, coming up, this is a huge month, of course. July will be, coming up on July 20th, will be the 50th anniversary of Apollo 11. That's amazing to think about it being 50 years. Dave Ennett, I wasn't born. I was born in 1974. I know you were born in the 70s as well, so you weren't around for
that.
No,
of course not.
But it really is this moment in history that, I don't know, I can't think in American history, the top five things that have happened in this country as we celebrate the holiday. The moon landing has to be one of the top five.
And do you know that was all? It's also the 50th anniversary of Chappaquiddick that weekend. It happened on this like the
that
same
was the weekend.
48 hours.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
This is Nancy Atkinson's a science journalist and an author, and her new book is called 8 Years to the Moon. And it's a very interesting look, not just at, of course, the 50th anniversary of the Apollo 11 mission, but the history of Apollo missions in general, because obviously there was a lot that went into it, a lot of different scientists who lent their, obviously, all of their expertise and their valued leadership to this program. Nancy Atkinson joins us now here on the Steve Cochran Show. Nancy, thanks for joining. Appreciate it.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to talk to you guys.
Yeah, so let's talk about this. This is a great way to approach this book because, of course, there's going to be so much made of the Apollo 11 mission, but really all of the Apollo missions led up to this.
Yeah, right. The reason why I wanted to write this book is that since Apollo happened 50 years ago, as you mentioned, it seems that all that most people know about it is that soundbite of Neil Armstrong saying one small step for a man and one giant leap for mankind, or they might know about astronauts putting a flag on the moon, but that might be about it. And I think that the thing that people might not realize is that it took the efforts of over 400,000 people around the country and around the world to make going to the moon possible. And these are people that work at NASA, contractor companies, the factories who built the spacecraft.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all figuring out how to do things that have never been done before. And so I tracked down about 40 of these people who truly work behind the scenes, who have really, a lot of them, never have had the chance to tell their story about this historic time in history. And because I know that everybody has a story, I wanted to tell their stories because they do have a really unique part of this incredible and historic event.
That's so well put. Just the idea that there's so many people that had to work together to make this happen. You know, it was just 8 years it took to get from President Kennedy's proclamation that we wanted to get to the moon for it to actually happen. Obviously, that is such a short amount of time, and the Apollo 11 mission is almost indicative of that because everything had to come together at the right time, and there was a little bit of rush in all of the Apollo missions, and a lot of danger because this was something that had never been done before and done at such a rapid pace.
Oh, yeah. So my book is laid out telling about the 8 years leading up to Apollo 11. And, you think back of this audacious challenge that President Kennedy put before NASA and the nation to reach the moon, which, back then we didn't have the rockets, we didn't have the spacesuits, we didn't have anything. We didn't even know how to fly in space, hardly. We had, when President Kennedy, in 1961, when he told Congress that he wanted to try to reach the moon, we had 15 minutes of space flight experience. We had one space flight, and that wasn't even an orbital flight. It was a suborbital flight. And so that there was just so many hurdles and challenges to overcome, and so much technology that either had to be invented or developed, and it all happened at such a rapid pace.
What impact did Apollo 1 have on the ultimate success of the Apollo program, but overcoming the tragedy of that first mission?
Yeah, the fire that took place on the launch pad in January of 1967, that really was a pivotal moment for NASA. And the interesting thing about it, however, is so many of the engineers and even NASA officials that I talked to said, you know, if that, as tragic as that fire was, if it hadn't have happened, we truly, very likely, would have had an accident in space. Because there were so many different things in the spacecraft, or things about the spacecraft that were just, they needed to be refined a little bit more. And the pause that the fire gave, they didn't fly for approximately a year and a half after the fire. And that pause gave everyone the chance to really take a look at all of the different systems, make sure that everything was safe. And they really did redouble their efforts, and everyone, you know, worked really, really hard to make it as safe as possible.
Nancy, there's a couple of stories about, you mentioned all of the various people that helped do the Apollo program. You focused in on a couple of the women that were involved. I know we saw the movie recently that sort of highlighted some of this, but tell us about the unsung heroes, especially the women of the Apollo missions.
Yeah, I feel really fortunate to be able to tell the stories of two of the very few women engineers at NASA during those days, and they really were sort of hidden figures as well who worked behind the scenes. One of them was named Dottie Lee, and she worked on designing the heat shield, the part that provides protection for the spacecraft when it's reentering the atmosphere. Another woman is Kathy Osgood, who is a member of the team that figured out how to do rendezvous in space, which is figuring out how two spacecraft can meet up and come together. And that was really a huge challenge for NASA. When the concept of rendezvous was first proposed, people just thought it was impossible, and it might have been, you know, kind of almost a mystery to be solved. And then another really unique person was one of the few African-American engineers in the 1960s. His name is Earl Kyle, and he actually worked at Honeywell in Minneapolis, and he worked on a lot of the components for steering and navigating the spacecraft. That's kind of an example of how countries across the country were contributing to this. But of course, while there we had the run-up to Apollo, of course, we had in the mid-60s, we had so many different things going on, the Vietnam War and all sorts of racial tensions. And so Earl Kyle was right in the middle of all that, and he has a really unique story about that time. But most of the people that I talked to were scientists and engineers who were, as we said several times here, they were figuring out how to do all those things that had never been done before. And they really had some unique challenges and hurdles to overcome. And I think in reading these stories, I think we can learn from them and how to handle the challenges that we have today.
Yeah. That's some, our final question, just about the challenges of today. The president has NASA back to the moon, even talking about Mars, wants to do it in a short amount of time. To think that in 1961, President Kennedy said, I want this to happen, and it took 8 years, and to look at it and say 8 years was such a short amount of time. What lessons can be drawn from the fact that was a short amount of time, and we want to do it again, but even shorter?
Well, I think one thing to think about is that Apollo, one of the things that I really learned from talking to all these people was that it was really just ordinary people coming together to accomplish something that was truly extraordinary. It was, you know, going to the moon was something incredible and magical and an impossible dream. But it did come true thanks to all the people who worked so hard and sacrificed a lot to make it happen. I think if we have the drive and the will to go back to the moon or to go to Mars, I think we can make it happen. A lot of it depends on the costs and making it sustainable, because Apollo did cost a lot of money. You know, back in the 1960s, we felt it was an important thing to accomplish. There was the Cold War, and people felt that it was important to demonstrate that democracy was superior than communism. So that was one of the ways in which people just felt it was important to have the space program.
Nancy Atkinson is the author of 8 Years to the Moon, The History of the Apollo Mission. She's actually going to be in Chicago coming up on September 5th at the bookseller. But obviously, that's a couple months away. Nancy Atkinson joins us today on The Steve Cochran Show. Nancy, thanks so much for sharing some of the stories from your book.
All right. Thanks so much. It was great to talk to you.
I tell you, if you're on Twitter and you or even Facebook or any of the others and want a good follow, if you're a space geek and want a good follow, Nancy, follow Nancy at Nancy_A and then Universe Today to the that she's involved in.
Yeah.
Great space follows.
There you go. Great space follows with Steve Brzanich. I think we got a new segment.
Yeah. And guess what? The Apollo 11 astronauts, if you had said to them at the time, 50, how about some great follows on Twitter?
Great. Some great space follows.
Yeah, but just imagine having a tweet from the moon. Mars.
Yeah, that's
coming,
right. You know that's going to be the drill, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's an exciting time. I'm hoping, that we'll see that happen in the next decade, to go back to the moon or possibly Mars and beyond. So good conversation with Nancy there.